Okay, so we're moving, as we said, into Kabbalah Shabbos. Kabbalah Shabbos consists of six Purakim of Tehillim recited before Lecha Dodi. And Rabbi Chiel Sparrow asks, why were these six chosen? Why is the number six significant? Simply, these six Purakim signify the 6 days of the week. However, Rabbi Sparrow says a homiletic reading of these paragraphs will reveal a much deeper connection to the onset of Shabbos. The Gemara tells us that there were six tekiyos that were blown on Erev Shabbos. Each of the first three blasts was used to alert everyone to the imminent arrival of Shabbos. The first was a call to those in the fields to stop their work. The second was a warning to those within the city to close their shops. And the third gave notice that it was time to light the candles for Shabbos. These three tekiyos were then followed by three more. Through the second set of these three blasts, the people then would be mekabel the Shabbos. And the Sefer Likra Shabbos offers an approach to this topic. He says, in the first mizmar of Lechunu Ranana, we speak to those who are working in the fields and with the sheep, and we say, V'anachnu am mariso v'tzon yodo. We are the flock he pastures and the sheep in his charge. And in essence, we are proclaiming that he, the ultimate shepherd, will take care of us and our needs. He's the one who provides. Therefore, al takshu levavchem, do not harden your heart and try to delay coming in from your work. So the first blast has sounded, and with it was the alert to notify us that the day of rest is almost upon us. The second mizmar, Shiru LaHashem, relates to the second blast. In it, we are encouraged to enter our shuls, uvo chatzerosav, come to the courtyards. It is time to close the stores in our cities and enter the home of Hashem. Once there, we're instructed, Hishtachvul Hashem b'hadras kodesh, prostrate yourselves before Hashem in His intense holy place, and take part in His coronation, as we say, Imru v'agoyim Hashem melech, declare amongst the people that Hashem reigns. Just as on Rosh Hashanah we gather to coronate the king, so too here we speak of gathering in the shuls and leaving our place of work to coronate Hashem. The third mizmar represents the blast that urges us to take heed and light the candles for Shabbos. Its words are Eish Lefanav of Teileh, Heiru Virok of Tevel. Fire will advance before him, his lightning bolts will light up the world, alluding to the radiating lights of Shabbos that will illuminate the home and the hearts of each and every Jew. The mizmar continues, Vatagelna benos Yehuda, the daughter of Yehuda will exult, since it's the Jewish women who kindle the Shabbos lights. And through this, or as a rule, at tzaddik, light is sown for the righteous. Through the lights of Shabbos, the women will merit righteous sons. As the Gemara tells us, Harogel b'ner havan leibanim talmidei chachamim, one who is careful with lighting the candles will have children who are talmidei chachamim. And we now begin to speak of accepting Shabbos in earnest through the final three blasts. The fourth mizmar, Mizmar Shiru LaHashem, speaks more explicitly of the crowning ceremony of Hashem. While the second mizmar urged the people to close their stores and prepare for Shabbos, this one actually is a coronation of sorts. As we say, b'chatzotros, we call shofar haril fnei hamelech Hashem. With trumpets and shofar sound, call out before the king Hashem. The welcoming of Shabbos Hamalka has begun. Along with the crowning of Hashem comes judgment. As it says, melech b'mishpat yamed aretz. The king's presence demands judgment and order, and this is the fifth mizmar, in which it says, Hashem Moloch Yirgizu Amim, when Hashem will reign, people will tremble. There is a constant mention of judgment and trepidation that comes with it, such as Mishpat Utztaka B'Yakov Atasisa, the justice and righteousness of Yaakov you have made, and Vinokim Alali Losam, an avenger for their iniquitous deeds. However, this king has a special love and affection for us as children, who are confident in his judgment and happy with their king. And this is the theme of the sixth and final mizmar, in which it says, Havu Hashem b'nei Elim, render unto Hashem, you sons of the powerful. Hashem reassures us, the children of the Avos, the Elim, not to worry, but to be strong, because Hashem ozlam o yitain, Hashem yivarech samo vashalom. Hashem will give might to his people, Hashem will bless his people with peace. He blesses us with peace of mind, and greet the Shabbos and enjoy the magical peace of mind that comes with it. The Aruch HaShulchan gives another explanation. He says these first five kapitloch refer to the days of Mashiach, which are called the Yom Shekulo Shabbos, and therefore we recite them as Shabbos begins. And then we say Mizmul David Havul Hashem, which contains seven terms beginning with the word kol, which corresponds to the seven brachos of the Shabbos Amidah, of the Shabbos Shmoneh Esrei. Rabbi Sparrow brings another reason. He says the Shem Yishmuel finds a beautiful allusion in the numbers connected to Kabbalah Shabbos. We know that there's a concept of the Ari Miklot. There were six cities of the Ari Miklot, and there were an additional 42 cities that were called the Ari Levim. These 48 cities all provided safe haven, a refuge for those who had killed accidentally. One who has killed unintentionally feels unending guilt, fear of retribution, and is tormented by thoughts of, what if I had acted differently? He will forever replay the scene in his mind, wondering if somehow, some way, it could have been prevented. What does this have to do with us as we accept Shabbos upon ourselves? Whose life, albeit unintentionally, did we snuff out? And the answer is that we failed to become ourselves. On the previous Shabbos, we elevated ourselves to unimaginable heights. But as the week progressed, the levels of Kedusha we attained have slipped away, and we fall into a spiritual abyss. We must find a place of refuge. We have so much spiritual potential to become someone unique and special, but the mundane pull of the weekdays urges us to settle and be ordinary. So we're killing our uniqueness and potential. And Shabbos is the safe haven, a place of refuge for our neshama, where it can rest and grow. So, and therefore we say the six mizmorim and the 42 words of Ana B'Koach to start Kabbalah Shabbos. And the Baruch Shomar says that these first five mizmorim bring mentions of Bria Olam, of creation of the world. And then the sixth mizmor again has Kol mentioned seven times, Kineged the seven brachos again of Shmoneh Esrei. But this mizmor, the sixth mizmor, has more shaychus to Friday night. The Evan Ezra tells us, it says in it, Kol Hashem al Hamoyim, that Hashem shows His strength through the rainfall. And as we know, you read this Geshamim, it's called Gvuros Geshamim. What does this, though, have to do with Shabbos? So he explains that in Parshas Bichukosai, it says, V'nasati Geshmeichem Be'itam, I will give the rain in its proper time. And the question asked is, when is that correct time? When is that proper time? And they answer that's on Friday night, since people are at home and not venturing outside, so the rain doesn't bother anyone. And therefore the bracha of Yuridus Geshamim is most appropriate on Friday night, so we say this mizmar here to symbolize the Bircha Shabbos. And Kabbal Shabbos opens with the first capital with Lechu Niranino Lashem Nerila Tzur Yishenu, which means, come, let us sing joyfully to Hashem, let us call out to the rock of our salvation. And the Baruch Shomer asks, it should have said Bo'u Niranina, and not Lechu Niranina, since Bo'u means that the one who's inviting them to come sing will join with them. Lechu usually is translated as go. So he and others explain that in a situation where the speaker is trying to arouse the urgency of the matter, the need for it to be done with extra zrizus, he will use the term Lechu. As we know by the Shvatim and Yosef, when the Shvatim were considering to kill him or sell him, in each scenario, the Torah uses the word Lechu, because they knew that if they didn't have this Rizus, this sense of urgency, they would not be able to carry out what they were trying to do. And this Mizmar is referring to the time of Mashiach. And we say, Nekadma Fana Besoda Bezmiros Nerialo, let us greet him with thanksgiving, let us call out to him with praiseful songs. And the Radak says, Nekadma is like Hazmana, like an invitation, that we are coming to thank Him with our mouths, to acknowledge to Him the good that He did to us. Ki kel gadol Hashem umel gadol kol elokim, for a great God is Hashem and a great King above all heavenly powers. And the Radak says that at the time of Mashiach, there will be nothing to contradict that Hashem is in charge, unlike today's times. And then people will see that all the heavenly powers acted only through what He commanded them. Asha biyado mech kurei aretz v'sofos harem lo, for in His powers are the hidden mysteries of earth, and the summits of the mountains are His. This pasuk and the next poetically describe Hashem's power in terms of all aspects of the world's existence. Asha lo hayom v'hu aso v'yabeshes yado v'yitzaru, for the sea is His, and He perfected, and He fashioned the dry land with His hands. He created land to place living things on it. Bo nishtachvev and nichrov and nivrachov ne'Hashem oseinu, come, let us prostrate ourselves and bow, let us kneel before Hashem, our Maker. And the Radak says that one man will say to another, come, let's bow, since we are chayiv to thank Him and bow before Him. Nishtachava means to prostrate, meaning lying flat on the ground with our arms and legs spread out. V'nichra, bowing, means bending our head and body the way we do in Shemona Esrei. And nivricha means to kneel, that we kneel with our knees onto the ground. And we continue, ki hu elokeinu v'anachnu amariso v'tzon yodohu im b'kol sishmo. For he is our God, and we the flocky pastures, and the sheep in his charge, even today, if we would heed his call. And the Mitzvah David says, he's the shepherd who leads us. And the Baruch Shamar asks, what does it mean, son yodo, the sheep of his hand? And he says, perhaps the kavana is that sheep are a weak animal, and all the shepherd needs to do is hit it with its hand. He doesn't need a stick like he would with bigger animals. And the same is with Bnei Yisrael. When we listen to Hashem, then Hashem doesn't need harsh Yisurim to correct us. And the Mitzvah David learns that a shepherd's merciful to his flock and only uses his hand, and so too, again, Hashem is merciful when we listen to him. Al takshu levavchem kimriva kiyomasa bamidbar. Do not harden your heart as they did at Meriva, as on the day of Masa in the desert. And the Baruch Shema tells us that the parak at this point changes gears. The first part, we were calling to come and praise Hashem. And the second part is Hashem urging us not to sin like our ancestors did in the Midbar, and the disastrous results which then took place. And Eben Ezra learns that this refers to the time of the Meraglim. The Mitzvahs David and Radak say, though, that it's really talking about the story of Masa Meriva, where they questioned Hashem being with them and had the punishment then of Masa Meriva there. When your ancestors tested me, they tested me even though they saw my deeds. And many Mefarshim learn that they tested Hashem even after seeing the Makos, Yitzias Mitzrayim, Kriyas Yamsuf. And the Baruch Shamar says that this made their chait much worse, because seeing all those Nisim, they should have had much more Amuna in Hashem. Arboim Shana, Akuk Bedar, V'omaram Ta'alev of Haim, V'haim Lo Yodu Derochoi. I was angry for 40 years with the generation. Then I said, they are a people that err in the heart, and my ways they do not know. And the Radak says, they angered me with the Meraglim, and they did not know my ways and recognize all the Nisim I have done for them, and were scared to go into Eretz Yisrael, so I swore that they won't go to Eretz Yisrael, and therefore they will die in the Midbar. Ashenishbati bi'api mivoyna menuchasi, therefore I have sworn in my anger that they shall not enter into my land of contentment. And the Mitzvah David says, I swore with a gzar din that cannot be torn up, and therefore children and gullahs, don't be like them. Listen to Hashem's voice, see his wonders from the Torah and mitzvos, and therefore he won't be gozer on us not to be zocha to see the days of Mashiach. The Baruch Shamar asks that it should have said El Menucha Sam, their land of contentment, since it was discussing the travels of Bnei Yisrael. And Rashi learns it's referring to Eretz Yisrael and Yerushalayim, and they are referred to as Menucha, as it says Zos Menuchasi Adayad, and the Baruch Shamar adds that something that's loved, that's chaviv by Hashem, is called his, the same way we say Beis Tefilasi, even though it should be Beis Tefilasim, that it's our house of davening. But since Hashem loves when we come to daven, it's called Beis Tefilasi. The Radak learns it means to the Menucha, the contentment that I gave them, and therefore again it's referred back to Hashem. And the Baruch Shamar learns that the Gemara tells us, Kol Mokum Shegol Yisrael Golsa Shechina Imahim. Anywhere that Klal Yisrael has been exiled, Hashem has been exiled with them. And it says in the Torah, V'shav Hashem Olkecha Shevuzcha, Hashem will return you from captivity. And again, the proper dikduk, it should have said V'heshiv, and not the word V'shav. However, V'shav is teaching us that Hashem is going to return along with us from the Golos. And therefore, Menuchasi is being Miyaches to the land of their rest, Hashem, because Hashem is coming back with us to this land. And the Malbim seems to learn that this kapitel is discussing the two different ways one can recognize Hashem. There's the bigger picture, which then eventually you could break down into details, and then there's through the personal Ashkacha Pratis. The former is how the Goyim relate, while the latter is how Klal Yisrael relates to Hashem. And the kapitel is saying the Goyim look, Kel Gadol Mel Gadol, meaning Kel Gadol Kol Elohim, that he's in charge of all Teva, all nature, and through that, they come to Mel Gadol call him, that he leads, directs everything. While Klal Yisrael say, Bo v'nishtacheve v'nechrol v'nei Hashem, not because of any other reason than Hu Asanu. He made us a nation, Ki Hu Elokeinu, he's our God. We have a kesher with him, that he is our God, and we are his flock. And therefore, if we turn away from Hashem, it's called Kishrei Lei, the hardening of the heart, as opposed to by the Goyim, it's not considered the same. And therefore, the Kapitel is telling us that we need to listen and connect to Hashem, who's there for us. And the story and the homework, so every time a person davens, he's expressing his emunah in Hashem. And he's essentially saying, I know Hashem is here, I know he's listening to every word I say, and I know that he has the ability to give me what I need. And the more emunah a person has, the more naturally he turns to Hashem when he needs help. Knowing that there is a being who can help us in ways we can never imagine is a great source of comfort. Although we do not always see our prayers being answered, nevertheless we can feel encouraged in any situation by the awareness that he is listening, and every single tefillah we recite will bring us benefit and blessing. And when we do see Hashem's hand in our lives, or when we see our tefillahs being answered, it's important for us to publicize this experience in order to give other people encouragement. When people see how a person received what he davened for, how he relied on Hashem for help, and the help indeed arrived, we are inspired to turn to Hashem in our time of need. And he brings a story of a woman who told him this right after Purim, that she was worrying how she would manage all the extra expenses that she was going to have before Pesach. Her business was struggling, and she had barely managed to cover her ordinary expenses. And her father had been helping her, but he had recently passed away. And how, she wondered, would she be able to cover the additional food and clothing expenses that were coming up? And I decided to do what I always do in these situations. I asked Hashem for help. I said, Hashem, now you are my only father. Please get me through this month with dignity. She davened repeatedly in her own words over the course of several days. One night she was awoken by a telephone call. The person on the other line said, congratulations, you've won the grand prize of the yeshiva raffle and all expense paid month of Nisan. The woman did not understand what the man was talking about. She asked her husband if he had joined any raffles, and he had said that he had not. The man on the phone explained that everyone who donated a certain amount to the yeshiva was automatically entered into the raffle, and the grand prize was receiving a reimbursement for every dollar they spend on expenses during Nisan, including mortgage payments, car payments, and Pesach shopping. Hashem's hand was so clear, she told me. He gave me exactly what I asked for when I needed it. Hashem can help us in ways we can never imagine. Rabbi Eli Mansour told a story that recently he ordered a taxi cab to take him and his family to the airport, but the cab arrived very late, and it seemed certain they would miss their flight. The airline's rule was that the passengers who did not arrive at least 1 hour before takeoff would not be allowed to check in their luggage. The rabbi was flying with a group of 10 people with 11 pieces of luggage, most of which were likely overweight. There was no reason to believe that they would make the flight. He thought to himself, I made the effort, I ordered the cab on time, and we were ready on time. This is from Hashem, so I will not be upset or angry, and I will not lose my cool. This is all in Hashem's hands. He'll do what he feels is best. And they arrived at the check-in after the deadline, yet the man taking the luggage was very courteous or cordial. He accepted all the luggage without any questions, despite the fact that the family had to start rearranging their items to balance out the weight in the suitcases. The man was very patient the entire time, despite the late hour. The family arrived at the gate shortly before the scheduled time for takeoff, and the lady at the counter said they were not too late. Today we are boarding manually, she explained, because our entire computer system shut down. The glitch delayed the process for a half hour, allowing the rabbi and his family to board. The rabbi had remained calm, recognizing that Hashem was in charge and relied solely on him. And in the end, he saw Hashem come through to help him. And Hashem has many ways of helping us. Our job is just always to remember to turn to him, remain calm, and remember that everything is in his capable hands. And obviously the homework is when we come into Shabbos and we go into Kabbalah Shabbos to think about what Kabbalah Shabbos is, what this opening, these Kapitloch are talking about, and obviously more specifically what Lechun Aranin is discussing as we again go into and enter into that Shabbos where we separate ourselves from the mundane, from all the stresses of life, and connect with our families and HaKadosh Baruch Hu.